Good evening, good evening, good evening. Greetings, brothers and sisters. On behalf of our founder and host, Sister Kimberly Skeen, we welcome you this evening to Freedom Radio. I'm Brother Dunlap, and I have the pleasure of hosting the show this evening in Sister Skeen's absence. Here on Freedom Radio, we're here to engage in responsible and respectable dialogue. As you know, the show airs every Tuesday from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to get into our show this evening. We have two special guests, one of whom was with us on our last show that I hosted on in March of last year. We have Brother Cornelius Parks and Brother Lawrence Thompson. Both of these men are mighty men of God. I respect both of them dearly. So we're going to hear from them in a few. I'll stop talking in a couple of seconds. Just a few housekeeping notes. If you're listening in and you would like to add to our conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll be able to see you on the switchboard, and then we'll be able to get your question or your comment. We're also going to be out there in the technology world. We have Twitter at We Speak Radio. We have a Facebook page at the We Speak Radio page, and we'll also have the availability to be able to chat with us during the show. So please help in liven up the conversation with your comments and your input, because this is not about us. It's all about God, and it's about you and the church. So this evening, our topic is living with diversity in the church. And as I mentioned before, our first guest is Brother Cornelius Parks, who was with us last month. And this evening, we have Brother Lawrence Thompson. And I'll let him introduce himself in his own special way. He's a man of few words, so I can already tell you that up front. Brother Parks, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, doing well. We're going to start the show off, brother, by letting you share about diversity in the church, because you had an experience that you shared with me, and I really think it'll be a blessing to the rest of the people out here listening and those who will be able to listen to us by archives. And if you don't mind, just give us a little background about yourself for those who are not have not listened to the show before, and if you can just tell us about that experience that you had, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. My name is Cornelius Parks. I'm from Columbus, Georgia. A fellowship with the church here in Columbus called the Body of Christ Worship Center in Columbus, Georgia. Retired military background, very diverse, different cultures that have done 20-plus years. But I thank God that he sustained me through all of that. Amen. We're talking about diversity in the church, and really just to go back from the last show we had, we just talked about the what the word diversity was talking about, what the word diversity means, the state or fact of being diverse, different, unlikeness, and variety. And we're tonight we're talking about diversity in the church. I would just have to say that where we're at, the church that I belong to, where we're at, we're praying for the masses. We're praying for diversity in our churches, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our leadership, in our governments, even in foreign governments. The diversity that God has in the kingdom of God. We're praying for that, but the question was, are we prepared for that? Do we embrace diversity within the walls of the church? One of the biggest things is one thing you can pray about diversity, but one of the things is preparing the people. And I think that in the churches I belong to, we have just really started to prepare our youth, young people, because they're the ones that's going to take this movement on into the future. So we have to prepare. We just started to prepare the youth, to prepare them to accept the different cultures and different groups and minority and races and colors of people, because it's going to take all of us linked together in one body. When we're talking about one body, we're all made of different parts and different diversities, different aspects. But we all need to come together in unity, as it is in Scripture Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a diverse group of people coming together on one common goal, with one spirit and one mind. So that's really where we're at right now at the church that I belong to. We just really just begin to just we've been in prayer for this over 8 years now, and I thank God for where He has us at in the church. Amen. So I give it back to you, Brother Dunlap, and let you do what you do on that.
All right, Brother Parks. Hey, we appreciate it. And again, I really appreciate you being here with us this evening. Well, Brother Lawrence, one thing that Brother Parks said is that we have to prepare our youth. And I'll tell y'all, Brother Lawrence has served as a youth minister.
Wow.
He served in that capacity, in a capacity, dealing with our youth at our church. Myself and Brother Lawrence, we attend the same congregation. So I'll put that out there. But Brother Lawrence, we'll let you just continue on from where the Brother Parks is. What's your thoughts on how we have to prepare our youth and why it's important to prepare our youth for what we're talking about, this diversity?
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Lawrence Thompson, as Brother Nate just introduced, and I'm grateful to be here tonight. I've been in ministry now for about 16 years. Still feel like I'm a young man, so praise God for all that He's done to allow me to continue to help build the kingdom of God. I think the question that the brother just brought up essentially brings up or raises a point that goes even beyond the age gap between young people and older groups. I think the first thing we have to do in terms of being able to put ourselves in a position to be prepared for diversity is that we have to do a mental shift first. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't matter if you're younger or you're older, we have to mentally teach ourselves not to do what we would naturally do. And it sounds weird. And the reason why that is that way, I found that to be the case. I've been grateful to be a part of two different churches that God has allowed us to go from where we had little to no diversity until the church was about split in terms of our diversity. 30% here, 30% black, 30% Hispanic. And that's a beautiful thing to see happen. I believe that's what God wants to take place inside the body of Christ more. But when we have to train ourselves not to do what we would normally do, what I mean by that is that just like in any other group, people assemble and they come together based upon similarities, based upon commonalities, based upon things that they like one another. And race is a natural, for example, when we talk about diversity, race is a natural separator. By race, sometimes we huddle ourselves together or we get ourselves together or we establish groups based upon that dominating factor. So when we do, and that's the same thing in a lot of other situations, athletes, they hang around other athletes, and models or young attractive people, they hang around other people like themselves. So in order to attract something different, you have to sometimes mechanically make yourself do something outside of what you would normally do. And that's difficult because it teaches this basically going against the natural response that you would as an individual. So instead of clicking off into a group that looks like you, or instead of being more receptive to ideas that sound like yours, you have to put yourself in a position, a situation where you're willing to look at things and consider things differently and other opinions based upon, because you're trying to attract that variation. So I think that's step one for not just young people, but for the body of Christ as a whole. We've got to not do what we have naturally done, so we can cease to be a group that just looks like the same folks and start being people that anybody will identify more with the spirit of God that's around us, and not what we look like on the outside or what talents we might have. Brother Dunlap?
Wow, how great was that? Brother Parks?
Yeah.
You opened the door. Brother Lawrence walked through it.
You know what? Can I say a few things real quick?
Oh, please, go ahead.
He's so on point right now with that about mechanically doing something. One of the things, and what came to mind when he said that was, we're looking at generational gaps, where generations have, one generation has done things one way and one way only, because that was the norm, or that was taught from generation to generation. Now that we're living in an age where the kids they're more computer savvy, electronics, we're reaching the world globally through internet and TV and radio and all this, and kids nowadays are getting to the point where in order for them, they're not at a point where it's more physical, it's more electronic now. So they're competing on a different level than we did as adults now. And so, and when I was just listening to the brother talk, it just reminded me, it's two different generations where we just got stuck. It seemed like we got stuck in a norm, and I said, wow, to mechanically do something different. To make yourself do something different. That's huge. And a lot of people have gotten to a place where, you know what, they don't want to change. They don't want to have to pick up and move over here and be a part of a diverse group of people. And it's amazing that it's like that in the church today. We spend a lot of time growing up as kids and seeing majority black churches. Then you have majority white churches on the other side of the street. But to see churches integrating and intermingling with a diverse group of people, races and colors, that is something that the kids nowadays have to be, we really have to be prayerful and just say, well, Lord, teach us how to come together according to your word. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
That's the biggest thing, and like I said, brother's on point. Really, I just saw a bunch of a flash of a whole bunch of things that I went through in my childhood, and as an adult, and then all of a sudden in the military, and then all of a sudden here we are talking about it. This is something that we wouldn't talk about years ago. We just, you know, it's okay. We're good. I'm gonna stay over. It's going to be me and my four no more. I'm going to just stay in my lane, and that's it.
You're right. And this is what I really want the listeners to grab a hold of. So often we find a lot of people, and I know I've been guilty of it in the past, about talking about how much diversity we don't have in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the opinion that there is a lot of diversity in the church. We just have to take the blinders off of our eyes to be able to look and see what's around us. Look and see what God has placed around us. Look and see who God has placed around us. And if you remember when we talked about this or first brought this topic out, we really defined and broke down diversity. And remember we said that most people believe, when we first start talking about diversity, most people say, go automatically to race or automatically go to color. And you know me, I'm an educator, so you know I had to do some homework. And we found out, and y'all brought it out, that we're talking about age, we're talking about disability, we're talking about economic background, we're talking about education level, we're talking about languages that are spoken, we're talking about physical appearance, we're talking about political affiliation, we're talking about religious belief, we're even talking about sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hot topic for the church. Maybe I need to go ahead and prime us with just diversity in general before we go there. But all of those have a place inside of God's house, every last one of them. And we already have them inside of our church. We just don't look at it because I believe diversity is not a religious word. It's not a biblical word. It's a worldly word. It's a business word.
Mm-hmm.
The Fortune 500 companies, they have diversity coaches. They have peer persons. McDonald's has them. That's how, when we listen to the Tom Joyner Morning Show, that's part of their diversity concept of that corporation. And Sister Skeen talked about last week when we were talking about leadership in the church, she mentioned, is God, Jesus, the ultimate CEO? Well, yes, he's the ultimate CEO. I believe that now. I couldn't catch it last time. So now as I think about it in terms of diversity, so if he's the CEO, or as he's the CEO, coming from a Christian perspective, we as his disciples, we're the ones, we're these diversity coaches. We're the ones who have to actually put this thing out here about diversity. Maybe it doesn't need to be called diversity. Maybe we just need to go back and look at some scriptures and look at how diversity actually happened in the Bible, because we go look at Acts chapter 2. That is like the first backdrop that I can bring out about diversity. I'll go somewhere else with that, but I just want to, I don't want to take up all the time on the show. We do want to encourage the persons that are out here listening to the show right now, press one on your dial pad if you want to have a comment or even ask a question to myself or one of the guests. So let me go to another question, unless you have some notes that you want to add to it. I asked this to Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, what does diversity look like in your congregation?
Well, I think it's like you said, initially when we begin to think about diversity, we obviously go directly to race. So from thinking of it from that vantage point, because that is a part of diversity, that is a measuring of diversity. From that vantage point, we're not very diverse. I go to, like I said before, I've been a part of a couple churches. I grew up at an all-black church, all-black Pentecostal church, very traditional in that aspect, and that's all I understood church to be until I went off and went to college and went on to a university, Georgia Southern, and then ended up getting around a group of folks that looked at church and the whole idea of it differently. So we had a little bit more of a mixed culture then. And I've been a part of, was a part of, associate pastor of a church here in this area where, like I said before, I first started there. Our pastor was white. We had a white assistant pastor. The church is probably about 30% black and 70% white. We had a few Hispanic couples there. And what we saw was as we began to open our minds up to change. See, one of the biggest things about something staying the way that it is when you got the same people always doing something. But when you open things up and allow other people an opportunity that may have not had an opportunity before to do their do music a little bit here, a little music here, let this person come and minister, and maybe you haven't heard them. There may not be a season, but they're different, and there's a different style. People will embrace that. They want to see something different. We think from a comfort level, a lot of times as leaders, that our folks just need to see that steady hand of the same guy doing the same things. But that's not the case. That's not what people look for. The body looks for that statement of stability. It's when they look for, it's when they see a leader, or see a pastor that has a clear vision laid out, communicates with their body what things are going on, embracing things that are going to be a benefit to the body and to the church as a whole, not just sticking with the same folks. So when you bring about those changes, you know, let different folks come in and do music and let different folks come in and speak, then people can see, hey, this is a different style, or this is a different way of doing this, or this leadership style here, this person's coming is a little bit different. And those diversities within their own natural giftings and God's people will help bring in more diversity, and I think it grows even more so as a result.
Y'all are really making this easy for me tonight. Brother Parks.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that Brother Lawrence mentioned was that you mentioned change and he mentioned change. And the thing that I thought about when both of you mentioned that was the Holy Spirit. Because, again, let me remind everybody, we're talking about diversity within the church. And if the Holy Spirit is not involved in that change, then we're doing things just like the business world, just like the secular world. And we should expect it not to last because it doesn't work. We don't model ourselves after the world. We model ourselves after Christ, after the Holy Spirit, after the Bible, after what God is speaking to us. You know, that's how we model things after the church. So what can we say to those that are listening and those who may listen at a later time so that they can actually get something? Because I'm really concerned about how diversity is playing out in the church, because we have so many people. If you recall last week's show, we were talking about Christian leadership. And a young lady came on the show, and she mentioned specifically about the same thing Brother Lawrence has mentioned. What about me? I have some gifts. I have some talents. And I can't seem to use them in my church because they're not allowing me to do it. They're not allowing me to minister in that area. So what are some things that you think that we can actually do in addition to praying? In addition to prayer, what can we physically do to try to get to usher in the Holy Spirit to bring about some type of change in these areas where we see we're lacking diversity?
Well, you know, prayer is always first and foremost in all things. But we're praying that God gives us wisdom and give leaders vision to see what God has placed before them. Now, and especially in congregations where the leader, the pastor, has a diverse variety of people, one of the things that my pastor does, and recently he just did, was he had all the leaders take the Myers-Briggs examination to see what type of leader. And we one of the outcomes of that was that we found out that leaders are idealists and rational leaders, but to be we're lacking guardianship and we're lacking artism in the church, and then that's where the leaders really have to pray and say, Lord, where is the guardians at? Where are the artists, artisans at in the church? You know, are diverse people, so that we would not be. How can I put this? I'm looking for the word. We're lacking knowing what's in the people. That's what I'm trying to get at. Just asking God to God show me what's in the people as a leader. Show what. That God has placed, because God is—he's bringing more and more and more people to congregations daily. We're adding to the church; He's adding to the church daily. But if we don't pray for the wisdom of God to show us what's in the people, then really we get kind of stuck, or we get kind of we get stuck in one thing, and we see it all as one thing or one. Good grief, I can't get the right words out of my mouth this evening. But it's just really a place where we're trying to understand that there's so many gifts in the body, so many different gifts and callings that God has placed there. But we really have to just be prayerful and say, Lord, show us where that's at so we can be whole, or one unit, one body with different gifts, different callings, a diverse group of people for one common goal, and that's to serve God for the body. Did I put that right? just trying to.
I understand
that anyway. Yeah, it's kind of hard to articulate because when you know that there's people there, and you're not really discerning, or you're not really understanding what you have in the house. That's one thing, to have the people there and not know what's in the house. You know what I'm saying? That you're still talking about diversity. A lot of times when we don't know what's in the house, then we have that one-track mind to say, well, this is the way we've been doing things, and this is the way we're going to continue to do it. But if we're praying about it and asking God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to know what's in the house, then we can reach the masses and be better prepared for the masses that are coming to the church and be more diverse. One of the things I've experienced is that God has really prepared me not just to be to be affiliated just predominantly black church, but I've been to white churches, I've been to Hispanic churches, and have friends in all those churches, and really God has to prepare us for that. he has to prepare us to cross those lines of diversity, cross those lines, dividing lines, so we can go out and pull one another. We're pulling on the gifts that's in us. If we're going to pull on the gifts that's in us, that means we got to be prepared to go out and pull in the direction that God wants us to pull. Yeah, that's it. Back to you.
And think about where we were the two previous times that we were discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation. That came up today. It came up last time. Came up
right.
The first time. Preparation is key. But here's the reality. If this is not the mindset that we've been trained, so to speak, to use the Lawrence word, if we haven't been trained like this in the church,
mm-hmm.
or in my church or in your church, it makes it real hard to prepare for something that we haven't been trained that we need to prepare for. So what that means to me is that when God starts speaking to whether it's you, me, or whoever about the different aspects of diversity, not from the race perspective, but from
right. All
of those lists, that laundry list of things that I mentioned before, and when somebody comes to our church,
mm-hmm.
when they come to our body, are we prepared to handle that situation? So we all know one of the biggest factors of where people are hurting in the body of Christ right now is financially.
Right.
It's financially. So if we're not accustomed to the different types of economic statuses, it can be negative on both fronts. Let's say most of the members of my church are in that what society calls lower class or poverty level. And then here comes Brother Lawrence that's making six figures. God led mm-hmm. Brother Lawrence there. The people can't relate because Brother Lawrence has so much more than what the people actually have that are there. But if we go to the Bible, if we go to where we say the church, the first instance of the church in the Bible, which is in the book of Acts, we see that those who had gave to those who did not have.
Mm-hmm.
Society tells us something totally different. We can think about the political tone of our country right now. And there's a whole bunch of debate about those who have that don't want to give to those who do not have, or those who have want to keep because they don't think. We can't get wrapped up in that type of thing. We have to operate the church or operate within the church, live with that diversity within the church according to how the Bible, these biblical examples that we actually have. If we don't, then we're not going to be that safe place, as it was heard on Sunday, for people who may be the quote-unquote have-nots. When they come into community or come into contact with the quote-unquote the haves, there's not a true relationship that can be fostered there because you have that actual that barrier. You actually have that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Lawrence, chime in whenever you want. Hold on for 1 minute.
I was just thinking about what both of you were saying. I think it's absolutely accurate, and I just began to think about this as we were preparing for tonight's discussion, and I think this statement I'm allowed to make, I believe, is fair, and I think we can see examples of it, and that is we attract what we are. We don't attract what we're missing. We attract what we look like, and I mean that in more than just the outside appearance of the statement. In other words, if you're a person who you're in poverty. Let's say you have a poverty mentality. More than likely, most of the associations you're going to make are going to be in that same type of economical strain. Wealthy people, same thing. They usually tend to draw in and to attract people like themselves. So when we talked about earlier about having that mechanical method of going outside of our norm in order to draw something different, that's absolutely essential. And that's the case, just like we're talking about now regarding a financial situation. The way that the world teaches us, for example, like we were just saying before, is that we are the 99 percenters, the ones who are trying to get something from the one elite percent of the country that has everything else. So then the church's mindset, taking on that same mentality then, would teach us then to that essentially treating people that are on welfare like they're less than God's gift, treating people who are physically ill, treating people who are obese, treating people who are, as Nate pointed out earlier, uneducated. A lot of that comes off in how you, what we give off when we're around people, giving off the mindset of, you know, I value you regardless of who you are. I value you. I think you're important. I think what you have to say is significant. I think all those things help to determine whether or not someone's going to look at us and say, I don't see anything in common, but I want to be a part of what's there.
Wow. I could not have asked for a greater group of guests to come on the show this evening. Again, I see a whole bunch of people that are listening right now, and we very, really, really thank you for listening in and taking up your time to just hear what is coming from our hearts, hear what God is saying, being able to allow us to refer back to the Bible so that we can get back to the Bible and be the type of church that God would actually be proud of. I really like what you said, Brother Lawrence, about we attract what we are, we don't attract what we're missing. And that's such a true statement, and my heart really breaks because it is such a true statement. When we look at some of the churches in our community, some churches have been around for 100-plus years, some have been around for 30 years, some have what the world would say is a small membership, some have large memberships. But at the end of the day, what I'm looking at is, what type of church are you where people cannot come into your fold to get more than just an actual experience on Sunday morning? I believe that when God sent me to Auburn Heights, God sent me to Auburn Heights because there was a void that I was missing in my life. I know it 100%. And if that void did not get met, I probably would have been gone out of bounds. And I shared with the listeners on the last show last month, and I said it was a young boy, about 5 years old at the time. He may have been five or six. His name is Cameron. And Cameron came across from one end to the church to the other end of the church, and he stretched out his hand. He said, "Hi, my name is Cameron. Welcome to Auburn Heights." That was powerful.
Wow.
And again, as a youth minister, Brother Lawrence, you know that children are innocent. They don't have a problem with diversity. The ones who have a problem with diversity are the older folks, are our age group, are the older age groups. It's those who have had certain life experiences that have caused them to not want to be a part of something. And one thing I know as far as being a man, there's more women that are in church than men. We know that this as a fact. So that means there's more men outside of the church dealing with a whole bunch of experiences that we are going to bring to the church that a woman is not going to bring because the woman is already there. A woman can get support and help quicker than a man. Not saying it's right or wrong, that's just the reality of the way it is. In addition to that, a woman will get more help than a man because we deal with pride more so than a woman. So again, as we're dealing with, I put this out there to everybody, as more and more people are calling in and listening to the show, as we deal with diversity, we're not just dealing with race. We're not just dealing with color. We're dealing with all of these other things. You know, that's what living with diversity is about. It's embracing the other, whatever the other is. Going back to, again, to preparation, because we can stay with the preparation, because I really think people really need to hear how important preparation is. Preparation is not having everything already set in stone, just waiting for that black man to come to your church, that white man to come to your church, that disabled person to come to your church. Preparation is what we deal with in life more often than not. Black man that walked up in my church, how are we going to embrace him or her? A white person that walked into my church, Brother Parks, how are you going to embrace him and her? What about the music that we play? What about the type of messages, you know, as a minister? What about the type of messages that I communicate to the congregation? I have to be really, really careful in the messages that I preach, because I know my message is supposed to reach the people. But if it's driving people away, and I'm not talking about when you know, getting your toes stepped on because you live in a certain way. And I'm talking about speaking. We call it in seminary, it's called Sin Talk. I won't even go into detail about what Sin Talk is. I'll allow that to be some research or homework that the listeners can listen to. But the way that we say certain things, it really matters. So, Brother Parks, let's go here.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What is the? Can you tell us what's the experience from your perspective of the quote unquote other that is at your congregation? From your communicating with him, how does he fit into the mold, and how does the church mold around him? Because remember, y'all are all one body. He's a member of that congregation. If he's fellowshipping with y'all, hey, he's all one part of the body, right? We
right.
just talk about these different parts. So we really need to let's hear that, if you can, about how you embrace him, how he embraces you. Where is there a little pushback from memberships? We need to be honest about this thing. And it's not about putting anybody on blast. It's about letting other people hear what's going on within the areas that we know much about, which is the ones that we're at close to home.
For the gentleman that belongs to the church, he's been a member, I think about 3 years now, three going on 4 years now. And when he came, he told us a very interesting story. He came from the West Coast, out in the West Coast, where the churches are pretty much integrated, a very diverse culture of people, and the type of music, as we were talking about earlier, the type of music that he was accustomed to is the type of music that he hears now at the church, at our church. So one of the things was, I heard his story, and he told us many a times that, yeah, I understand the music, I love the music, I've been in that background and this, that, and the other. But over a period of time, as I watched him, not just being in the ministry, but now he's actually one of the leaders in the ministry. He's been placed in a position of leadership. And one of the biggest things he and I conversated about was, he felt as if now the members, they don't respect him. And there's a lack of respect because of skin color. Sometimes you can't avoid the color, the color issue, the color barrier. You can't avoid it because it's there. We can't overlook it. But as I talked to him, he believes, he feels that there's some blockage there because him being the only white gentleman, the white person in the congregation. And I said, well, I don't believe that's the case. I believe that is just the way you perceive it to be. A lot of times in leadership, especially when you were talking about there's more women than men, women respect leadership in churches. Women just naturally respect leadership. That's why you have more women than men. But to say for him to be in a leadership position now, and for him to ask another man of a different color to do something or to help out in certain areas of ministry, and to get negative feedback or no response, he believes that it's because of his skin color. And I said, well, brother, I would dare to tell you, even if the pastor was to tell some of these brothers in the church to do something and they don't do it, why would you think they would respect your leadership than respecting his leadership, the set man of the house, the one God has set and placed in position of authority and leadership in the house? So here we are, and just getting down to the nuts and bolts of this thing, for the gentleman that belongs to the church that I go to, he has been in a position and just been really just thinking about it and praying about it. Say, okay, Lord, how do we deal with this? how do we, what is it that, what do we do to accommodate or to help him to make, to help him believe that he's still a part of the body of Christ. He's still a member of the body of the church, and not feel as an outcast or a part of the body that doesn't have function. What do we do? What do we do in that situation? So that's where we're at the moment at the church that I belong to. Yeah.
And one of the things that I think about, again, we are continuing to stay, and I think this is just where God wants us to be because this is what God wants his people to hear,
mm-hmm.
preparation and training.
Mm-hmm.
We may not always get an opportunity to prepare for the fight in advance. Sometimes we have to prepare as we go, and that's okay. I think that's what God would want his people to hear. It's okay if you have not been accustomed, if your mindset has always been comfortable at a certain level, if there's only been one particular ethnicity, one particular race, one particular denomination, whatever it is, whatever aspect of diversity, if that's all that has been there, or maybe only one or two in a congregation, that's okay. What really, really matters in my mind, in my opinion, in my spirit, is what are we going to do about it when it confronts us? I have a very good friend of mine who was injured in an accident a little over a year ago and lost a part of his leg. Real good brother. Very, very challenging situation. And I had the fortunate opportunity to kind of walk with him through that situation over the year. And I said this to a group of individuals in the church one day. What I said was, this brother lost a part of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he was able to get a prosthetic leg,
mm-hmm.
which that prosthetic leg, he's allowed to walk on it. He's allowed to stand up straight. He's allowed to run. He's allowed to do a whole bunch of things that he would not be able to do without that prosthetic leg. And this is what I left this congregation with. Maybe you're that prosthetic leg. To a particular body.
Wow.
Maybe I am.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to encourage others to really stay in this fight when it comes to issues of diversity. Because if we don't, if we don't stay with it, then who else is going to do it? See,
that's
Brother
right.
Lawrence, you made a good comment. We have to do that mental shift. But why should we expect somebody to do a mental shift if we're not willing to do a mental shift? So when it comes to diversity, I know I'm all in. Everybody may not be able to be all in right now as I'm in, but that's okay. At least ride on my coattail. There was only one Moses. There was only one Jethro. There was only one Peter. There was only one of a whole bunch of things throughout the Bible. So since there was only one, maybe we can start thinking about it from that perspective to try to help this whole process along. That maybe I'm the one that needs to be the one to say something. Maybe when that other person that's in the congregation is feeling like he or she is being discriminated against or nobody really wants to associate with him or her, maybe I'm the one that needs to say, hey, Pastor, you know what? This is what actually happened to this individual. This is why this individual is not coming. Brother Lawrence, you have any comments on that?
I think that's absolutely essential. I think bottom line, you just hit the nail on the head. That's what ministry is. Ministry is essentially being willing to be that one. You know, Jesus said that the 99 wasn't a concern, but that one is straight away, that's the one he's going after. And being willing to, on the other side of that, be that voice, be that one, be that individual, be that young 5-year-old that came to you and said, welcome to Auburn Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes all it takes is just one. And I can imagine, had that young man not come up and greeted you the way that he did, it may not have given you the strength which you would have needed to be willing to play the role that you had to play in being a part of a huge diversity that was coming about the church. But because that young man was Christ-like and doing something that's so unnatural for us grown folk, he was able to make such a, and I hope you were able to share with him that, man, this, you have no idea what impact you made by just coming. I saw what you had to do to just greet me. I saw the road you had to take. I saw the effort you had to put into this. This made it's moved me so greatly that I don't think anything else today, including the songs that they sang, but no matter how powerful this message was, because, listen, we can go. There's so many opportunities to go hear good music and go get good preaching. There's great preachers all over the place. You got some great ones right here on this phone, not including myself. And so sometimes we look at what we do well, and we look at it wrong. We ought to celebrate the things that God has blessed us to grow in as a body and do well in. But those things that we struggle in, maybe we're not the cultural change in the community that we need to be. Somebody said to me one time, and I thought it was genius, if your church up and left and died out of this community, would anybody care?
Wow.
And the thing about that is that's so true, and I can guarantee you there's so many churches that if they just dried up out the community, nobody in the community would even notice.
Wow.
Nobody would listen to them. And if there is that one that's willing to be the one to say, I'm going to be the one to put myself out there, be vulnerable, you know, be looked at as whatever, maybe be even scarred by other folks talking about me because I did this, but because I believe in this, like you said, I'm all in. What a difference we can make.
That's right. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. Brother Parks, you got about 13 minutes left. I really want you to, if you will, explain to us or to the listeners that experience that you had at a certain retreat about a month or so ago, because I think we talk so much as a collective about the diversity that we do not see in the church. When I first started talking about diversity a couple of months ago, probably back in January, almost all of the comments that I received back were all negative. And I shared some of those with the listeners. You know, if you're talking about race, it's not. You know, I got booted out of my church because of diversity. We talked about all of those negative comments. I think we only had about one or two out of 20 that was positive. That said, one person said, yes, we embrace diversity. Now, of course, we got to look at the context and everything else. But at the end of the day, it was more negative to positive. So what God is saying to us, it's important that we be the ones to uplift the positive aspects of diversity, like I mentioned with what Cameron did for me. And I did mention that to him, Brother Lawrence. And here's how that went. When I mentioned it to him, I said, I talked about you on the radio the other night. And he said, really? And what I saw from that little boy, nobody else saw it, but I said it. I saw it. Wow.
He ran over to his father. He said, Dad, I was on the radio. And so his dad inquired about why he was mentioned on the radio.
Hmm.
So as Cameron talked about how I was affected by what he did with me at that young age, now that was something that his father could be thinking about. And that's now something that his father could be telling somebody else about. So that's how it spreads. So, Brother Parks, if you can, if you would just let us know about that experience that you had, because it's all about the experiences. So much of what's in the Bible is actually about the biblical writers' experiences and what happened to them. But sometimes we can't understand. We can't grab a hold to what Peter did and what Paul did, even though those are good stories and the gospel and the word is good. I need to hear about Brother Parks, because if I need to hear it again, I need to be. I know I can go to Brother Parks. I know I can call up on a radio show at another day and say, "Hey, Brother Parks, can you tell me about that story again?" So, Brother Parks, if you will.
Yes, I'll definitely be glad to. But one of the things that one key thing here this evening, really quickly, is that we really have to understand the God that we serve. Our God is an awesome God. He's a very strategic God, and the things where He sends us and the places He plants us to grow. We're a lot of people are being planted. They're being uprooted and they're being planted again here and there. And not knowing the purpose of their life, not knowing what God has purposed in their life to do where they're being planted at. A lot of times we look at the situation and just negate it or just neglect it to a point and say, well, you know what, I don't fit here. This piece don't fit. But still, God is very strategic at what he does. But to talk about the retreat, it was a 72-hour men's retreat. It was nothing but men. At this retreat, the majority of the men there, were white men from United Methodist and different other organizations, different churches here in Columbus, Georgia. And I think it was about maybe three or four black men, including myself, and one Hispanic, one or two Hispanics. But it was 28 of us. We came together on a Thursday evening for 72 hours. And by coming, when we came together, we didn't know each other. We had no clue who each other were. We began to do different exercises, introducing ourselves and talking about our backgrounds and things of that nature. And I noticed how, I began to notice how God has strategically placed us in that environment. It was an environment where we couldn't have cell phones, we couldn't have laptop computers, we couldn't have TVs, nothing, no communication devices at all, no watches, no clocks, no nothing. But in that environment, the environment was totally saturated with the love of God. It was completely saturated with the love of God. But the thing about that is, at the beginning, we were looking at each other and say, oh, wow, he's black, he's white, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the 72-hour retreat, every man embraced one another as brother, as were sons of God, you know, children of God. And I saw how the Spirit of God moved on all of us in such a way that the whole 72 hours, we heard the Word of God from distinguished men, ministers and clergy. They preached the Word of God, but they preached the love of God, the grace of God, and that's all they preached the whole time. And within that 72-hour period, I saw how the Spirit of God moved on all of us as we lay prostrated on our faces and just begged and cried out to God to get more and more of Him. As I looked around and I saw the same 28 men that stood around and looked at each other with funny looks on their face at the beginning of the 72 hours, at the end of the 72 hours, we looked at each other and said, you know what, you are my brother. You are my brother in Christ, and I love you. And now, even today, as I sit and we email each other and we try to keep in contact with each other because we got so many other things going on, there's still the love of God is still there in all of us because of what God did within 72 hours. Now, it's amazing what God, if God can do that in 72 hours, it's amazing what He can do in these churches here in Columbus, right, Georgia, and around the world to bring people together of different race, different color, different background, social status, education, and all of that. It's amazing what God can do. And to me, I tell you, the whole experience for me, I cried the whole time because I saw the love of God fall on all of us at the same time. We received at the same time. So that was the experience that I had in that 72-hour men's retreat back in March, and I thank God for it.
Brother Parks, I'm so elated that you actually went to that retreat. And I know an individual that was there, but you didn't see that individual. And I never would have known that you were there unless it was for somebody else that let me know that you were there. one of the things that I thought of, you mentioned something that's so powerful, Brother Parks. You talked about 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were locked in, you know, don't we, Brother Lawrence, don't you have these things called lock-ins, or had these things called lock-ins? You can speak to them better than I can, where everybody just is there. They don't go anywhere. You don't have the parents. And y'all deal with us. They deal with things, you know. The thing that I like about where you were at, was at, Brother Parks, was the fact that y'all had a desire to go,
mm-hmm.
which was you had a desire to get something from God.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what it was. You may have some things that you were trying to get God to give you answers to, but he had something for every last one of you that probably none of y'all could imagine y'all would have been experiencing.
Exactly.
Wouldn't imagine exactly. that y'all would have been experiencing. Some of the others may not have been looking at it from a diversity perspective, but it was there. I'm sure those who were in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, chapter
mm-hmm.
2, were not looking at it from a diversity perspective. They were just there, and they just rolled with it.
That's
so
right.
We have a couple of minutes left, and if there's anybody that would like to make any comments that's listening to us right now, press 1 on your dial pad. We would love to get you in, but I really know that when we're talking about topics like this, we often, and it's just the history of the show, we often don't get a lot of callers to call in. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That lets me know that you're listening. And sometimes we just need to listen and let whatever that word that God is speaking to us or about our circumstances just permeate in our heart, and then take it after the show is over with and let him continue to speak to us and hear what God is actually saying. Because every one of you that is listening right now, every one of you who is on the internet listening, God is speaking to you. And every last one of us may be that prosthetic leg for our particular body. So we have about 3 minutes left in the show. Brother Lawrence, again, my brother, I thank you so much for being here this evening. And can you just take a minute just to give us some closing comments and leave us with something good, as you always do whenever you have a microphone?
Well, it's been a definite honor and privilege to be a part of this healthy conversation. I really believe that I've personally grown as a result of being able to listen to some other people, and Brother Parks, you, and my brother Nate here. And I think what I would personally take from this discussion tonight, and that is God wants us to do more.
Mm.
And we have to really start doing ministry now. We've been doing church now, and we have to do ministry and go out there and make a difference. And I would encourage you all to do that.
Thank you, Brother Lawrence. Brother Parks, we got about 30 seconds for you, so if you have any closing remarks, go ahead at this time.
The only thing that I kept hearing throughout this entire evening, and I thank God for the both of you, for the wisdom of God that rests on your lives. Brother Lawrence, you're a man of much wisdom, and I thank God for you, for your comments. But I know one of the things I kept hearing the Lord saying, that faith without works is dead.
Mm.
If we're not doing the work, what good is our faith? And that's it.
That's good. Well, we'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen, at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, from 8:30 to 9:30. Please come back and join us. Sister Kimberly Skeen will be back hosting, and God willing, I will be able to be with her to co-host. And we thank you for the opportunity just to be in your living rooms, in your cars, on your cell phones, over the internet, whatever media that you're actually listening to. In the last few seconds, this is what I will say. God gave me this word, and this is how I'll leave it before the show goes off. Jesus says, don't tell me that we are not ready for diversity. Is this the excuse that you would use? God bless you.
Mm-hmm.